माता जी, कैन यू टेल मी वंस मोर हाउ डू आई डू दैट यूट्यूब लाइव? आई एम इन द
I think Vinaya Mataji will help you, Prabhuji. I don't have idea for that.
Yeah, one second, Mataji. I'm just looking at that PDF. I'm sorry for the delay.
Vinaya Mataji?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in you.
Hare Krishna. I welcome everyone to the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Please accept my humble obeisance and I'm all to Srila Prabhupada. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Adhikadadat Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 12th Chapter, from 43 verse onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable association and time to enlighten us on this topic. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, verse number 43. Is the stream working? Because I'm clicking on the Go Live button, but nothing is happening, Mataji. It's still showing stream preview.
Vinaya Mataji?
Maybe Prabhuji, you have put for the later the option in when you go the live schedule later like that. You have put Prabhu, there is option like that. Did that option is on?
No, Mataji, that option no. I don't see it.
Oh, okay, Prabhu. I'm not sure, Prabhu, exactly what is happening there.
Okay, let me try once more.
Yeah, sure, Prabhu, please try one more time.
Mataji, nothing is happening. I'm clicking on the go live thing, but nothing is happening, Mataji.
Oh, actually, another Mataji is there who knows exactly, Prabhuji. I just do the same thing, Prabhu, go live, but I don't know why it is not activating for you. But we can see that you have selected to go live, but we can see the link also. I got the link too.
Yeah.
It says just we are waiting.
Yes, Mataji. For me also, it is showing waiting.
Can you please disconnect it and start from the beginning, Prabhu?
Okay, I will close the window. Please bear with me. I'm so sorry.
No problem, Prabhu. Please take your time.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4th, Chapter 12, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, verse number 43. Narad Muni is glorifying Dhruva Maharaj in these verses, and he is saying, Yakshatra Bandhur Bhuvitasya Dirudam Anaru Rukshe Nativarsha Pukai Shat Pancha Varsho Yadaho Viralpai Prasadya Vaikum Kamava Patapadam. Synonyms: Yaha, one who, Kshatra Bandhu, the son of a Kshatriya, Bhuvi, on the earth, Tasya, of Dhruva, Adhirudham, the exalted position, Anu, after, Arurukshe, can aspire to attain, Api, even, Varsha Pugahe, after many years, Shat Pancha Varshaha, 5 or 6 years old, Yat, which, Ahobi Alpaya, after a few days, Prasadya, after pleasing, Vaikuntham, the Lord, Avapa, attained, Tat Padam, his abode. Translation and purport: by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Dhruva Maharaj attained an exalted position at the age of only 5 or 6 years. After undergoing austerity for 6 months, alas, a great Kshatriya cannot achieve such a position even after undergoing austerities for many, many years. So Narad Muni is glorifying his disciple Dhruva Maharaj here by saying that Dhruva Maharaj attained an exalted position only at the age of 5 or 6 years, such a young age, by undergoing austerities for only 6 months. And he says even a great Kshatriya cannot achieve such a position after undergoing austerities for many, many years. Purport: Dhruva Maharaj is described herein as Kshatra Bandhu, which indicates that he was not fully trained as a Kshatriya because he was only 5 years old. He was not a mature Kshatriya. So we will discuss as we go, because there are many important points that Srila Prabhupada makes in this purport. So we'll chant Mangalacharan together, all of us. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru
Vishnavam
Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Radhunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyaeva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurati Se Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So dear devotees, we read in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, that Narada Muni, who is a Mahabhagavat, he is a very, very exalted, very special, pure devotee of Krishna. In the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, in these verses, Narada Muni is glorifying Dhruva Maharaj, who happens to be his own disciple. And this glorification of Narada Muni, this glorification by Narada Muni of Dhruva Maharaj, is being narrated by Maitreya Muni to another Mahabhagavat, Vidur. So this is the context. So Maitreya Muni is telling Vidur the Dhruva Charitra, the character, the activities of Dhruva Maharaj. And at the end of the description, we are coming towards the end of the description, Maitreya Muni is quoting Narada Muni. The verse we read today was spoken by Narada Muni in glorification of Dhruva Maharaj. So Narada Muni is telling in this verse that Dhruva Maharaj attained perfection of life in just 6 months. Dhruva Maharaj followed the instructions of his spiritual master Narada Muni very carefully, very perfectly. And as a result, in a short time of just 6 months, Dhruva Maharaj attained perfection of his life. And in these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is glorifying Dhruva Maharaj and saying, I am so proud of my disciple Dhruva Maharaj. And in the commentary, Srila Prabhupada, he explains, quoting from our acharyas who have given their commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Narada Muni has so many disciples. Narada Muni has so many disciples. But here, Narada Muni is specifically glorifying Dhruva Maharaj because Narada Muni is especially proud of Dhruva Maharaj, that Dhruva Maharaj made it back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. That is the special credit, that is a special glory of Dhruva Maharaj, that he made it back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. So let us think about this point, my dear friends. This particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, as we all know, from our Chaitanya Charitamrita study, we know that this was one of the favorite sections from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Gadadhar Pandit would love to study, relish, discuss at Jagannath Puri, sitting in the Tota Gopinath Mandir. Both of them, they used to relish. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who has come in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani herself. And they are sitting together and reading this section, Dhruva Charitra. And they are feeling great ecstasy. They are crying. The pages of Srimad Bhagavatam are being smudged by their transcendental tears. And they are having so many wonderful exchanges, discussing the activities of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. So we have to understand that this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, is perfect and very pure and very nourishing, very relishable. However, this section is very special because this section was the favorite of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. So here, Narad Muni is glorifying Dhruva Maharaj because he made it back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. And in the second section of the verse, Narad Muni is specifying that this accomplishment is not possible for many, many other sadhakas, what Dhruva Maharaj did. Therefore, Narad Muni is very happy, very proud of Dhruva Maharaj. So few points here, my dear friends. The first point is that it is such a wonderful service to make one's spiritual master proud. In spiritual life, we should never be proud of our own self. But transcendental pride means to be proud of other devotees. Just see, Narad Muni is not glorifying himself. Narad Muni is not proud of himself. But Narad Muni is very, very proud, extremely proud of another devotee who just happens to be his disciple. But regardless, Narad Muni is extremely proud of Dhruva Maharaj. Because Dhruva Maharaj practiced, followed very diligently, Vyavasayatmaka Buddhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahushaka Hyanantasya Budhaya Avyavasaya. In this verse, in the commentary to this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that a sad Shishya is one-pointed, has one-pointed dedication in following the instructions of Srila Guru Maharaj. In the commentary to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, and Prabhupada quotes in his purport, that this particular verse, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, specifically refers to a disciple following the orders of his spiritual master. And this particular verse of Bhagavad Gita was very, very inspirational in the life of our Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, when he was contemplating and planning how to take this Gauravani all over the world. How can I follow and execute the orders of my spiritual master? Because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was coming in the dreams of Srila Prabhupada, asking him to do this greatest welfare work. The whole world is suffering. They don't know what Krishna consciousness is. They don't know the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada wanted our Srila Prabhupada to take this message, take this Gauravani, take this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which has been handed down to us through Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and all our acharyas all over the world. Take it to North America. take it to the South American countries, take it to the European countries, take it to Africa, take it to Australia, take it to New Zealand, take it to Russia, take it to all these countries, Indonesia, Malaysia, all these countries, take it all over the world. This very, very special service was given to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was thinking, I'm not qualified, how do I do it? When he was contemplating like this, this particular verse was very inspirational to Srila Prabhupada. So here, Narad Muni is saying that a sad shishya, a good disciple, a qualified disciple, a sincere disciple, has very, very one-pointed, unalloyed, undeviated faith in carrying out and determination in carrying out the orders of spiritual masters. So Narad Muni went to Vrindavan as instructed by Narad Muni. He stayed on the banks of Yamuna. So he did Dhamvas with the wet mud from the banks of Yamuna Devi. Following the instructions of Narad Muni, Dhruva Maharaj, he made a deity of Krishna. He would take Tulsi leaves from Vrindavan, which is a forest of Srimati Tulsi Maharani, Vrindadevi. He would take leaves of Tulsi and offer it to Sri Vigraha, which he had made from the mud of Vrindavan on the banks of Yamuna. He would take some forest flowers and he would offer the flowers to Sri Vigraha. He practiced pranayam as taught by Narad Muni, always doing dhyan, always meditating on Krishna, and he was chanting this mantra given to him by his Guru Maharaj. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. For 6 months he was meditating on this mantra, he was chanting this mantra. This mantra did not leave his mind. His mind was completely absorbed. And after practicing this sadhana, after doing this bhajan for 6 months, he had darshan of Krishna. Krishna was pleased with him. Krishna appeared. The little 5-year-old Dhruv was overwhelmed with emotion. He could not speak. He could not offer prayers of glorification to Krishna. So Krishna touched him on his head with his shankha, his panchajanya shankha. And immediately Dhruv Maharaj got the ability to offer beautiful prayers to Krishna. And that was not the end of it. After that, Dhruva Maharaj went back. He continued his education. He did not become puffed up. He had no envy towards Uttam, his stepbrother. He had no ill feelings or grudge towards Suruchi, his stepmother. With a very pure heart, he went back and he ruled over the kingdom of his father, Maharaj Uttanapad, for thousands of years, as ordered by Krishna. And then whatever Krishna had predicted, it happened. His stepmother, she went to the forest searching for Uttam, who had been killed by a yaksha. And she also left her body in a forest fire. So Dhruva Maharaj lost his cousin brother, Uttam. He lost his stepmother, Suruchi. And being a Kshatriya, following his Kshatriya Dharma, he fought against the yakshas very bravely. And he defeated them. And when Manu Maharaj, his grandfather, told him to stop, he accepted the instructions of Manu Maharaj. He did not tell Manu Maharaj that, what are you telling me? I am a disciple of Narad Muni. I have had darshan of Krishna. Krishna is pleased with me. Krishna had already declared that this war is going to happen. All this was predestined. Why are you chastising me? Why are you correcting me? You don't have the right. You don't have the adhikar to correct me. No. Guru Maharaj was not like that. He accepted the correction, the feedback, the advice, the instructions that Manu Maharaj gave him very humbly. He was not puffed up. And then Dhruva Maharaj, he begged forgiveness from Manu Maharaj. He made a friendship with the leader of the Yakshas, Kuver. And in return, Kuverji, he gave blessings to Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj came back. He ruled And then he handed over the kingdom to his descendants. And then he went to Badrinath, and there he was engaged in serving Badri Vishal, serving Krishna, and associating with all the sadhus who lived at Badrinath. He was worshipping Naranarayan. So in this way, Dhruva Maharaj lived a very, very exemplary life. And in the preceding verses, we read how Dhruva Maharaj, his entire life was glorious. He was glorious as a child. Yes, Dhruva Maharaj started at a lower platform. He started off with anger. Srimad Bhagavatam describes he was heaving like a snake, like an angry snake. He was hissing like an angry snake. He wanted revenge. He was very competitive. He was in a mode of passion. It is described that the yajna and the bhajan and the service performed by Daksha Prajapati was in the mode of ignorance, because he blasphemed Shivji. He blasphemed his own father, Brahmaji, by saying that, you got my daughter married to this wretch, Shivji. So he criticized Shivji, he also criticized Brahmaji, his own father. So he offended two Mahajans, two great devotees. So the Yaksha Yajna was, his sacrifice was in the mode of ignorance. Then the bhajan, the motivation for bhajan, for Dhruva Maharaj, started off in the mode of passion, Rajogun. And the bhajan performed, the 99 yajnas performed by Prithu Maharaj, were in the mode of goodness. So we have all these three examples, one after the other, in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the example of Daksha, Prajapati Daksha. We have the mode of ignorance. We have the example of Dhruva Maharaj, mode of passion. And we have the example of Prithu Maharaj, mode of goodness. Interestingly, Krishna elevated and purified all three of them. He took all three of them one much higher. So yes, Dhruva Maharaj started in a very competitive, in a very passionate Rajasic mode. He wanted a kingdom better than his father, because his father's kingdom was going to go to his stepbrother Uttam. So he wanted something better than what his brother was going to get, better than Maharaj Uttarapad. He wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather Manu Maharaj, and he wanted a kingdom greater than Brahmalok, his great-grandfather. So he started off in a very unhealthy spirit, mode of passion. But if you see, his bhajan was exemplary, his sadhana bhakti was exemplary. The prescription that he got from his spiritual master Narad Muni, he practiced it in a very exemplary way. So his childhood was exemplary. His adulthood as a king, he was very compassionate. He followed all the rules and regulations. He remained a great devotee of Krishna throughout his life. So his life as a king was exemplary, and his life as a sannyasi, as a vairagi, as a renunciate, as a sadhu, was also very, very exemplary in Badrinath. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was very ideal. Just analyze his life. First of all, his family lineage is very good. He's coming in the line of Manu Maharaj, very, very glorious. He did his guru is very, very, he's a pure devotee, Narad Muni Mahabhagwat, a very special type of Mahabhagwat, actually an incarnation of Krishna, a Shakti Avesh of Krishna, Narad Muni. So his guru, he had a Sadguru, he had a perfect spiritual master. He performed his sadhana in Vrindavan on the banks of Yamuna, in Madhuvan. So that is very special. He ruled his kingdom in a very exemplary way, under the guidance of Narad Muni, under the guidance of Manu Maharaj. That was very auspicious. And again, when he renounced everything towards the end of his life, he went to Badrinath. Such an auspicious, holy place, such a pure place, where only there was devotee association. And he performed his sadhana very nicely. In the preceding verses, we saw how at the time of death, death did come. Death will come to all of us. Death came to Tukaram Maharaj also. Death came to Dhruva Maharaj also. And death comes to all of us. We see it all around us. Every day we see death. So we should not think that just because I am a devotee, death will spare me. A devotee never tries to avoid death. Parikshit Maharaj did not do that. He accepted it. Dhruva Maharaj did not do that. He accepted it. Srila Prabhupada did not do that. He accepted it. And Srila Prabhupada was asked, can you stay back with us towards the end? Prabhupada looked at Krishna Balaram and said, it is up to Krishna Balaram, whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. Kuch ichha nahi hai. I don't have any personal motive. Whatever Krishna Balaram wants. I'm putting my life in the hands of Krishna Balaram. Srila Prabhupada said that. So a devotee does not try to avoid death. The death will come. Death will come to both devotees and those who are not practicing the path of devotion. Death will come to both types of living entities. But our acharyas explain, for one, death is like the jaws of the cat. Cat grabs a mouse in its jaws, and cat also grabs its own kitten in its jaws. It's the same jaws of the same cat, but the result is different. When a mouse is captured by that jaw, it means death for the mouse. And when the kitten is picked up by the cat and taken from one place to the other, it is not to kill the kitten. It is not to eat and devour the kitten, but it is to take the kitten to a more comfortable place, to take the kitten back home, back to Godhead, because there is a relationship of love and trust between the kitten and the cat. So death will come for both types of living entities. Death came for Dhruva Maharaj also, but for those who are not practicing the path of devotion very nicely, for them death means loss of everything. Death means loss of everything. They lose their body to which they are very attached. They lose their home. They lose their 401k. They lose their saving account. They lose all their money. They lose all their friends. No more Saturday night party. No more going on a cruise vacation. No more going and watching the games like cricket or baseball, or no more going for a basketball game. You will never know who is going to win the next Super Bowl. Finished. You have to get out. You have to leave everything behind. No more family members. Nothing. Death is a very unpleasant, very painful experience. It's an occasion where everybody comes and mourns. Oh, alas, alas. But for a devotee, death is something very beautiful. For Dhruva Maharaj, death personified became a stepping stone to step into Vaikuntha airplane, Vaikuntha Vimana, to go back home, back to Godhead. To get into a plane, we all need steps. We step onto a plane. Death became that stepping stone for Dhruva Maharaj. It's so amazing. So amazing. Yudhishthira Maharaj in the Yaksha Samvad in Mahabharata, he is asked towards the end of the question answer, end of the series of questions that Yaksha puts forth to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He asks, what is the most asharajanak, what is the most surprising thing in this whole world? And we all know the famous answer of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He immediately replies, Ahani ahani bhutane gachanti hayamalayam Shesha sthavaram ichhante kim ascharyam athaparam. Everyone around us, we see they are dying. We see our grandfathers died, our friends die, the parents of our friends die, so many people we read here, they die. We read about so many accidents, so many attacks, so many people dying, young and old. Newborns die, young children die, teenagers die, middle-aged people die. Old people die. Everyone is dying. They are being dispatched to the abode of Yamraj. Gachanti ha Yamalayam. From this Dukkhalayam, they go to Yamalaya for more Dukkha. To decide which other Dukkhalayam they have to go now. Patal Lok, this Lok, that Lok. So that this is all Dukkhalayam. The whole material world is Dukkhalayam. The only difference is which room of this Dukhala you are going to go. Room number one, room number two, there are 14 rooms. So this is all Dukhala. Gacchanti Hayamalayam. Shesha. But the remaining people, those of us who are still here in this Karma Bhumi called the Earth planet, this is the only Karma Bhumi in this Brahmanda. Those of us who are remaining in this Karma Bhumi, we behave as if Shesha. Thavaram Ichchanti. Our desire is to remain here. We make plans. I will do this. Then I will. This house is a little old. Now let me buy a brand new construction so that for the next 50 years I don't have to worry. Then I can settle in my dream home. So many physician friends I talk to, they have a nice house and then they are planning, I want to build a dream home. It should have a swimming pool. It should have an infinite swimming pool. So there is no wall. I can just look and it looks as if I'm sitting on a beach in an ocean and I can see the water kissing the skyline, horizon. I want an infinity pool. I want a 4-car garage. 2 garages here, 2 garages there. There should be a nice basketball hoop on the driveway. And the backyard should be this and this size. There should be a nice, this, that. There should be a basement. There should be an attic. There should be so many floors. My bathroom should be like that. My closet should be this big. My jackets will be here. My winter clothes will be here. My night dresses will be here. I should have so many pairs of shoes there. My children should go to this school, that school. This much money for this child. This much money for this child's education. I should have so many millions of dollars for my retirement. So much planning we do. Because we think we are going to live forever. We may not literally think that I am going to live for 1,000 years, but we act as if we are going to live forever. What is the meaning? Shesha Sthavara Michanti, what is the meaning of this? We should analyze. Shesha Sthavara Michanti, Kima Ascharyam Athaparam. What can be more surprising than this? That this most intelligent species, human being, is seeing death all around, but still, I feel that I'm going to live forever. Shesha Sthavaram Ichchanti means we behave in a way, we plan in a way, we act in a way as if we are never going to die. Please analyze this. Now, none of us believes that we are going to be eternal in this body. I know that. Nobody in this world, even an atheist, knows he or she is going to die. Agree? Yes. So then what is the meaning of Yudhishthira Maharaj saying, Shesha Sthavaram Ichchanti? We, although all of us know that we are going to die someday in the future, we behave, we plan, we live our lives in such a way that we are not going to die. You know why? You know how? Because if we truly realized that death can come at any moment we can be standing in front of Yamraj and Yamadutas, if we truly believed that, if we truly had the conviction, if we truly had the realization that I can die at any moment, we would be fired up. We would not be complacent. We would not be lukewarm or cold. We would have the fire, the intensity of bhakti. If we don't have seriousness, if we don't have sincerity, we are Shesha Sthavaram Ichchanti. We are at least behaving as if we are not going to die. We are not conscious of the fact that we are going to die. And death can come to anyone at any moment. I will share a little personal meditation that has helped me in this. Every day when I leave for the hospital in the morning when I am working, before I open the door to the garage and step out of the house, I look at our beloved deities, I look at Guru and Gauranga, and I tell myself that this is the last time I am seeing them, I am going, I may die in an accident today, I may never come back. Something might happen on the road, in the hospital or wherever, I may get heart attack, something can happen to this body and I am not going to come back and stand in front of Guru and Gauranga again. This is the last time. So before I say my final, offer my final namaskar to Guru and Gauranga, Viridavak Vapur Bhim Vidadhan Namaste. The last time I am offering my namaste to Guru and Gauranga, have I finished my 16 rounds? Have I fulfilled the vow the pratignya that I have taken in front of my spiritual master, in front of a sacred fire, in front of the holy Vaishnavas, in front of Sushil Lalita Vishakha Radha Bhakti Manji. The promise that I have made during my initiation lecture in 2007, one very important instruction that I remember hearing from my Guru Maharaj, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, is towards the end of that lecture, it was a 45-minute lecture, Srila Guru Maharaj said, I'll tell the adjectives that Srila Guru Maharaj used. Srila Radhanath Maharaj said, you have taken a vow that you will chant minimum 16 good quality rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day on your Japamala, not on the counter. On the Japamala, means on the initiation Japamala. I will chant minimum 16 good quality rounds. Good quality means 3 P's, we all know. Posture, pronunciation, and prayerful mood. Prayerful mood, praying for purification, praying for prema bhakti, praying for Vaishnava Sangha, praying for Vaishnava Seva. Prayerful mood. Posture should be proper. You should be in a proper position, proper place, focused. And the pronunciation should be good. You should chant the mantra attentively, clearly, distinctly. Prabhupada used the word distinctly. Srila Raghunath Maharaj was saying, you have made the vow that every day you will chant a minimum 16 good quality rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra on the Japa Mala. You will follow 4 regulative principles. In letter and in spirit. No meat eating. So literally it means no meat eating. But the spirit behind the letter of no meat eating is to increase our compassion and to decrease our violent behavior. Violence through words, through our behavior, through our action. We will not be emotionally violent to others, whether they are devotees or they may not be practicing the path of devotion. Whoever they are, we will not be violent towards them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. What is spiritual violence? We behave in such a way that people become averse to Krishna consciousness. We emotionally hurt others so that they go away from Krishna consciousness, or they feel hurt. So physical violence, emotional violence, spiritual violence. That is the meaning of no meat eating. No intoxication. Literally in letter, it means don't have tea coffee, don't smoke tobacco, don't chew tobacco, don't drink alcohol, don't do drugs. That we all know. But that is in letter. What is the spirit behind that letter? No intoxication. Don't be intoxicated with false pride. I am giving class. All of you are just sitting and listening, getting my association. You had nothing better to do on a Sunday morning than to listen to Adi Gadadhar Prabhu. Because I am the best speaker, most realized. I am chanting maximum number of rounds. I have the best sadhana. I am worshipping the deities like no one else is doing. So you better come and listen to me. Who is more qualified than me? Deva ho deva, whatever deva, tumse badhkar kaun, aur tumhare bhaktaganon mein humse badhkar kaun. Who can be a better devotee than me? We may not say this. We may not even directly think in such a gross way that I am the best devotee. But even if we think that I am better than any one person, that is also a fall down. That is intoxication. We are intoxicated with pride. We are intoxicated with self-aggrandizement. Pride cometh before the fall. It's a fall down. If we become proud, we are intoxicated. We may become proud of our wealth, of our position. But just see, I made it. I'm balancing it so well. I have got everything. I have got bhakti and I have got mukti and I have got bhakti also. Wow, wow, wow. I'm going to go back to Godhead. I have got bhakti. Everybody is respecting me. They are wanting to hear my classes. They are wanting my association. And I have got... Krishna has given me enjoyment. What to do? Krishna wanted Dhruva Maharaj to enjoy. Krishna wanted Narasimha Bhavan, told Prahlad Maharaj to enjoy the kingdom. Somehow Krishna has given me this humble 6-bedroom house and, this job where I'm making several hundred thousand dollars. Krishna wants her to enjoy. So bhakti has come my way. What to do? I didn't ask for it. Krishna has given me. So all these thoughts can come. They are very, very contaminating. Very contaminating. So even if we feel we are better than anyone, any one person sitting in the assembly or not sitting in the assembly, it's a fall down. We are intoxicated. We are illusioned. Intoxication means you are illusioned. You don't know what is what. That is the meaning of intoxication. You are intoxicated means you are driving under influence or whatever. Being intoxicated means, being inebriated means you have lost touch with reality. If we think we are better than others, we have lost touch with reality. We are intoxicated with pride and arrogance. Like that, all the four regulative principles can be analyzed in letter and in spirit. No gambling. So literally it means no speculating on stock market, no lottery, don't go to the casinos, which is so popular. You know, my friends, not my colleagues, they know that I am a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and I am trying to follow the path of Krishna Bhakti. But still you will not believe in the last few years how many times I have been invited to go with them to casino. Oh, there is this CME, the Continuing Medical Education. There is this conference in Las Vegas. Come, and you know, they are booking us in this nice casino hotel where we can have fun. The medical lectures are only for 2 hours in the morning and we have rest of the day to enjoy. And so many things. And then we'll go to some place in Carolina. I don't know, north or south. There is one, apparently a big casino there. Let's drive from Atlanta there this long weekend and let's enjoy. So many times I have been invited. You know, so gambling is considered to be not very sinful. It is just what everybody does for enjoyment. So yes, literally it means that no going to casinos, no gambling. But what is the subtle meaning? What is the spirit behind the letter no gambling? What is gambling? Gambling means taking chance. Let me bet this and let me take a chance. I may win, I may lose. Let me take a chance. If we are taking chances with our Krishna consciousness, we are gambling. If we think, let me do this, this is just, you know, one temptation I am falling prey to. But Shipram Bhavati Dhamatma, very soon I will come back. Apiche Suduracharo. We can, you know, justify so many things from Shastra with our own stupid mind. We can compromise, we can fall prey to temptation. Oh, just this once, it's 5 minutes of enjoyment, then I will be back with my tilak and kanthi and dhoti. And nobody in the assembly of devotees will know what I just did. When I come in the assembly, everybody will offer obeisances like they normally do. And I will also offer obeisances. And by doing this sinful activity, by breaking this regulative principle, by falling prey to this temptation for 5 minutes, I will become humble. I will become humble. Now I know that I am, so the next time when devotees come and praise me, with feeling I can tell, no, Prabhu, actually, I am very fallen, Prabhu. I am not qualified. I am not qualified. Why? Because I am falling prey to temptations, no? So that natural humility comes. This is how the mind justifies breaking the regulative principles. So if we are taking chances like this, like we just read, the 10 offenses against the holy name before the Bhagavatam class, one of the offenses was to perform sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. So we feel that, yes, I can smear myself with mud and then I will take a bath in the river. Just like the elephant's bathing. And in the sixth canto, Parikshit Maharaj points out. So, if we are taking chances with our bhakti, if we are taking chances with our Krishna consciousness, we are gambling. Because a gambler also takes chances. He takes it cheaply. It's okay if I lose $100. I don't care. But doesn't realize that $100 is Lakshmi. It is Krishna's property. It is Krishna's energy, Krishna's Shakti. It is meant for serving Krishna. So similarly, we should not take chances with our bhakti. We should not take chances with this body. This body is Krishna's property. This body is Krishna's Shakti. It is meant to serve Krishna. It is meant as an offering to serve Krishna. That is the meaning of Ridhava Vakurvi Vidhavan Namaste. Jivetya Mukti Padeta Vayabhak. And what is the fourth principle? No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. And what is the fourth regulative principle? No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. No illicit sex. So no illicit sex means no loss of semen other than for procreation. That is the real meaning. Now, honestly, it is easy to follow the other three regulative principles, at least in letter. I'm not talking about spirit. But in letter, it is easy to follow the three regulative principles. See, I was not even able to remember the fourth regulative principle. It just shows how I am forgetful. I don't even know the fourth regulative principle. But it is easy to practice no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. Even if someone invites us to a casino, we say no. Very easy. Someone serves a plate of beef, pork, you say, disgusting, nahi chahiye. I don't want. If someone keeps a vodka bottle in front of us or some alcoholic drink or a cigarette in front of us, you say, cheese, nahi chahiye. So that is very easy. Even on health grounds, we can reject. Gambling is a proven addiction, nahi chahiye. I don't want it. Alcohol, intoxication, it is bad for health. And we can reject it very easily. But what about illicit sex? What about illicit sex? It is very, very difficult. Very difficult to practice it even in letter. I'm talking about myself. Very difficult. So in my life, because you are all very, very dear to me, and I have been associating with you for more than 2 years now, I will speak very, very frankly, very candidly, because this type of candor is required. Because this is something that nobody discusses. It is very embarrassing. But I will share my own journey. It is helpful to go step by step. It is helpful to go step by step. And in my life, taking shelter of the Holy Name, taking shelter of devotee association, devotees who have actually conquered this enemy of lust, devotees who have actually controlled illicit sex, taking shelter of them, somehow associating with them and serving them in whatever small way we can, has helped tremendously. So we have to analyze our heart, how much lust we have. We may realize some of it we don't even realize. It's hidden. We may not be able to see it. It comes out, but we have so many impressions from our previous conditioning. So many times we have fed the bad dog in our heart. That dog may be sitting, but still very ferocious. Still wants to bite. Still wants to bark. Given an opportunity, it will spring up and show its ferocious teeth. So a lot of conditions are there. But in my personal life, regular means not missing even one day. Regular Brahma Murta Japa. Finishing 16 good quality rounds around by the time, you know, before 7 o'clock as far as possible. At least chanting your prescribed number of 16 rounds before leaving the house. Good quality 16 rounds. That has helped tremendously. Tremendously. The one thing that has really helped is chanting 16 good quality rounds early in the morning. Has helped tremendously. So it is a stepwise process. So in letter it is very difficult to practice to follow the fourth regulative principle, the principle to give it up. But step by step, kramena, like it is said in our scriptures, step by step we should go in the right direction. Then hearing certain lectures of Chaitanya Charan Prabhu has helped me. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu talks extensively about lust, how to control lust, how to practice this, follow this fourth regulative principle. He has written essays, he has written articles, and there are audio lectures also. Even in Bhakti Shastri, he talks extensively about how to say no to temptations. Very, very beautiful, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Those lectures have helped me tremendously. So in this way, associating with devotees who are more advanced, associating with sincere devotees, and hearing from them, serving them, following their instructions has helped. It is step by step. But what does no illicit sex mean on a subtle platform? What does it mean in spirit? What happens to by doing illicit sex? We lose our cleanliness. Saucham goes away. our cleanliness is lost. That is, physically also, we may get sexually transmitted infection, we may get HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, so many nasty diseases which make our body contaminated, filled with sores and ulcers and very horrible. So on a gross level, on a bodily level, it makes us dirty. We lose our cleanliness by performing illicit sex. But on a subtle level, even our mind becomes unclean. Our mind, which is a property of Krishna, it is one of the eight separated energies of Krishna. Bhumi rako nalo vayu kham mano bhire vacha ahankarityena dinna prakriti astada. Our mind belongs to Krishna. Mama mana mandir. Mind is supposed to be the temple of Krishna. Mind is supposed to think of Krishna. Man mana, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. You have to remember Krishna, think of Krishna. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. Krishna wants us to remember him always. So mind is Krishna's property, but when this mind starts thinking about sense gratification, this mind starts thinking of enjoying the body of another person, it is very contaminated. Therefore, by illicit sex, we lose our cleanliness. Similarly, this body, this mind, our words, everything is Krishna's energy. It belongs to Krishna. So if we are doing anything that is pratikul for Krishna consciousness, that is illicit sex. That is the spirit behind no illicit sex. If we do anything that is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, we are breaking the fourth regulative principle of no illicit sex. It is that simple. What that means is we should be 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness. Very difficult to do. I am not doing it. But I am simply repeating the words that Srila Prabhupada is writing in this purports. Repeating what we can see in the life of Dhruva Maharaj. You are 100% Krishna conscious. That is why he was able to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. So Srila Radhanath Maharaj was saying in the initiation lecture in 2007 May on the Tirobhav Tithi of Ramananda Raya. Radhanath Maharaj was saying that you have taken this vow, this pratigya, that you will chant minimum 16 guru quality rounds every day. You will follow these four regulative principles, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And you will serve in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. You will serve in this international society for Krishna consciousness. You will serve in ISKCON in the mood of Dasanuga. Servant of the servant of the servant. And then Radhanath Maharaj said, one, now I'm telling the adjectives that he uses in that lecture. One has to be very, very careless. One has to be very, very deceitful. One has to be very, very dishonest. One has to be very, very arrogant. One has to be very, very insincere to break the vows of initiation. These are the words of Sri Radhanath Maharaj during the initiation lecture, our initiation lecture. One has to be very insincere. One has to be very ungrateful. One has to be very reckless. One has to be very careless. All these adjectives Srila Guru Maharaj used. One has to be all of these things, very insincere, very reckless, very callous, very careless, to break the vows of initiation. On the other hand, if a sincere devotee, carefully, whatever has happened in the past, we cannot change that, my dear friends. But today, on this day, what is the date today? I think March 24th, 2019. Today, if we renew our vows of initiation, that my dear Lord, my dear Guru and Gauranga, Aparadha Sahasrani Kriyanteha Mishambaya Dasoham Mitiman Makwa Kshamaswamadhusudana Bhaktya Vihina Aparadha Lakshay Chittascha Kamadhi Taranga Madhe Kripa Maitvam Sharanam Prapanna Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam. Yes, I have committed so many aparadha, I have committed so many paap, so many sins, so many offenses. Bhaktya Vihina, I don't have any devotion. Whatever has happened in the past, I cannot change. So many devotees I have hurt. So many times I have not chanted my 16 rounds. Or I have not chanted good quality 16 rounds. So many mistakes I have done. So many wrong choices I have made. But Krishna, from this day, I am yours. I am renewing my vows of initiation. Once a devotee told me, every time you witness an initiation ceremony of any spiritual master, any year, we witness any initiation ceremony, it is our duty to renew our vows of initiation, to rededicate our consciousness at the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. This sounds very basic, but if we are sincere, I repeat, I will chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra on my Japamala every day. I will follow the four regulative principles and I will serve in ISKCON in the mood of Dasanu Das. Sounds very easy, sounds very simple, sounds very basic, sounds very rudimentary. But it is not. My dear friends, if we are sincere, if we truly understand the import of these vows, if we truly understand the deeper meaning of these vows, it is extremely difficult to practice it. How many of us can say that I have chanted 16 rounds with full attention? Even for one day. Not a single mantra my mind has deviated. How many of us can say that we have chanted 16 very good quality rounds every day? It's very difficult. Who can say that I have been following the four regulative principles in letter and in spirit? How many of us can say that we are serving in the mode of Dasanu Das? So difficult. So difficult. But our inability to practice it should make us humble. It is very good. Therefore, we should always compare ourselves to what the standard is. The standard is Haridas Thakur. The standard is Rupa Goswami. The standard is Srila Prabhupada. The standard is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The standard is Bhakti Vinod Thakur. The standard is Ayendra Prabhu. The standard is Gaur Govind Maharaj. If we compare ourselves to the gold standard, then we will understand that I am not even iron. I am rusted. I am rusted. And that brings about real natural humility. Natural humility. I am rusted iron. Still, I want to see myself as a showpiece in a display of gold and diamonds. I want to sit on that Vyasasana where Srila Prabhupada sat. I want to sit on that Vyasasana which is the asana of Vyasadeva. I want to sit on the Vyasasana and speak where all the Acharyagans have sat. That is like a rusted piece of iron wanting to be on the display in a jewelry shop among pure gold and diamonds. So we should always, always judge ourselves compared to the gold standard. What is the standard? What is the standard of renunciation? We give up colorful clothes and we decide that I am going to wear this khadi kurta and I am going to wear a white dhoti. Very simple. I don't have any rings. Adigadhar Prabhu is very simple. But what is the standard of renunciation? It is Raghunath Das Goswami. It is Raghunath Das Goswami. I may think that I don't eat sweets. There is nobody who can give up sweets. I am the best devotee. What is the standard? Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami. Kolavecha Sridhar. Chuklambar Brahmachari. These are the standards. The standard is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Chanting 192 rounds. With bead bag in one hand, umbrella in another hand. Sitting in Navadvip. Sitting at Yoga Pit. To rain, to sun, to the harsh winter. Eating one time a day. Not with his hands, but like this, for 9 years. before he started preaching. That is the standard. So when we compare ourselves or think of Srila Prabhupada chanting our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, crying and chanting so many rounds, nobody knows how many rounds he was chanting. Some residents of Vrindavan, he was chanting 192 rounds when he was living at Raha Damodar Mandir, Seva Kunj, Vrindavan, as a sannyasi. Sweeping the ground in front of Rupa Goswami Samadhi Mandir, praying to Radha Damodar Ji, praying to the Govardhan Shila given to Sanatan Goswami by Krishna himself, praying in Vrindavan for all of us. For all of us. That is the standard. We should always compare ourselves to the gold standard. Then the balloon of our ego gets punctured and deflated. So we'll continue with the purport. Srila Prabhupada is saying, Dhruva Maharaj here is addressed as Kshatra Bandhu, very interesting term. We say Brahma Bandhu or we say Dvija Bandhu. Means one who is not a real Brahman, a friend of a Brahman. Dvija Bandhu we have all heard. Here Narad Muni is using the term Kshatra Bandhu. Why Kshatra Bandhu? Because 5-year-old Dhruva Maharaj was not a trained Kshatriya. So he was a Kshatra Bandhu, but still he attained Krishna. He was not even a proper mature Kshatriya. A Kshatriya or Brahman has to take training. A boy born in the family of a Brahman is not immediately a Brahman. He has to take up the training and the purificatory process. The great sage Narad Muni was very proud of having a devotee disciple like Dhruva Maharaj. With all humility, my dear friends, our prayer should be to Guru and Gauranga that please purify me. Please give me prema bhakti. Please give me genuine humility. Genuine humility. We cannot be Srinagapi Sudeshana, but at least we can pray for it. At least we can aspire for it. At least we can try for it. Just like being humble like a blade of grass is impossible for me. Being tolerant like a tree, how tolerant a tree is, doesn't speak anything, no matter what it is subjected to. Being tolerant like a tree, yet serving everyone, is impossible. So being humble like a blade of grass on the road is impossible for me. Being tolerant like a tree is impossible for me. Then going back home, back to God is also impossible. But still we aspire. We still aspire to perfect our lives, don't we? Similarly, we should aspire for genuine humility, genuine tolerance, genuine respectfulness. Mana dena, amanina. We can at least pray for it. We can at least aspire for it. We can at least make feeble attempts to genuinely have humility, tolerance, and respectfulness. Because this work is the key. If you want to enter a room which is locked, you need a key. This work is the key to the treasure house of Krishna prayer. If you want to cry, Nayanam galad ashru dharaya. If you want to cry, if you want to feel separation from Krishna, if you want to feel love for Krishna, then this work is the key. So at least you should pray. Similarly, my dear friend, with all humility, we should pray that, my dear Guru and Gauranga, please make me a source of pleasure to you. I love this prayer. I love this prayer. Whenever I have to pray for someone and we don't know what to pray, devotees say, Prabhu, please pray for me. Prabhu, this is the difficulty. Please pray for me. The prayer that I always pray for everyone and for myself, instead of praying, please cure the cancer, instead of praying, please give him a job, instead of praying, please whatever, give him a good wife or a good husband, or, you know, cure this disease, solve this particular problem. These are very short-sighted, myopic prayers. Myopia means short-sightedness. It's a very short-sighted prayer. But the best prayer is, my dear Guru, Guru again means our Shiksha Guru, our Diksha Guru, our Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada, all the Guru Gans in our Sampradaya, all the Guru Gans in other Sampradaya, all the way to Adi Guru, Nityananda Rama or Balaram. And Gauranga means Gauranga Mahaprabhu, our beloved Gaurasundar, who is not different from Radha and Krishna. So Radha and Krishna are also included. And they say Gauranga. So Guru Gauranga includes everyone. So my dear Guru and Gauranga, please make this jiva, this person, eternally a source of pleasure to you. So if a person, if a jivatma becomes an eternal source of pleasure to Guru and Gauranga, it includes all of the prayers. It includes Anukulyana Krishnanu. It includes Anya Vilashita Shunyam. It includes avoiding the 10 Namaprad. It includes avoiding all Seva Aparad. It includes avoiding all Dhamaprad. Because if you are committing all these aparads and sins, how can it be a source of pleasure to Guru Gauranga? It includes Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu, Nachao, Semate. Because only if you are a puppet in Krishna's hands, only if you are a willing puppet in the lotus hands of Guru Gauranga, can we be a source of pleasure to them. It includes Vaishnava Seva, because unless we do humble, sincere Vaishnava Seva, how can we be a pleasure to Guru and Gauranga? So this one prayer, my dear Guru and Gauranga, please make me, and please make all these jivas, all these devotees, all these people, all these personalities, an eternal source of pleasure to you. This is, I believe, a very good prayer. So I always pray. Whenever somebody says, I have this problem, I'm struggling with lust, I have this marriage problem, I have this relationship problem, I have this health problem, please pray for me. I pray. But I don't know what to pray. So I pray this simple prayer. Hey Guru Gauranga, please make this devotee an eternal source of pleasure to you. Please make me an eternal source of pleasure to you. See, my dear friend, Dhruva Maharaj in this world. Narad Muni is saying, I am so proud of my devotee disciple, Dhruva Maharaj. This is the perfection of our lives, my dear friends. When the spiritual master says, I am proud of you. When Krishna says, I am pleased with you. When we become a source of pleasure to Guru and Gauranga, that is the perfection of our life. When devotees are pleased, Sri Raghunath Maharaj says, if you love Krishna, the devotees will love you. And if you love the devotees, Krishna will love you. So if we please the devotees, Krishna is pleased. If we please Krishna, the devotees are pleased. So we have to be a source of pleasure to Guru and Gauranga. We have to be a source of pleasure to Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. That is the aim of life. And this Narad Muni is saying, so Guru Maharaj's life is perfect. He had many other disciples. Please listen carefully, my dear friends. We are coming to the conclusion of the class. Here, Narad Muni, here Srila Prabhupada is saying about Narad Muni. Narad Muni had many other disciples, but he was very pleased with Dhruva Maharaj because in one lifetime, by dint of his severe penances and austerities, he had achieved Vaikuntha, which was never achieved by any other king's son or Rajarshi throughout the whole universe. There is the instance of the great king Bharat, who was also a great devotee. Bharat Maharaj was also a great devotee, but he attained Vaikuntha Lok in three lives, Srila Prabhupada says. In the first life, although Bharat Maharaj executed austerities in the forest, he became a victim of too much affection for a small deer. And in his next life, he had to take birth as a deer. Although he had a deer's body, he remembered his spiritual position, but he still had to wait until the next life for perfection. In the next life, he took birth as Jada Bharat. Of course, in that life, he was completely freed from all material entanglement. And he attained perfection and was elevated to Vaikuntha Lok. The lesson from the life of Dhruva Maharaj is that if one life, one can attain Vaikuntha Lok in one lifetime without waiting for many other lives. My dear friends, I'm going to repeat this line. Srila Prabhupada says, the lesson from the life of Dhruva Maharaj is that If one likes, one can attain Vaikuntha Lok in one life without waiting for many other lives. Prabhupada continues, My Guru Maharaj, Shri Srimad, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada used to say that every one of his disciples could attain Vaikuntha Lok in this life without waiting for another life to execute devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada is saying we can attain Vaikuntha, each one of us. We can attain the spiritual world. Vaikuntha is a general term. Vaikuntha means the spiritual world. It can mean specific Vaikuntha planet, but many times the word Vaikuntha is used synonymously for Goloka Vrindavan. All our acharyas, all the perfected self-realized acharyas in our sampradaya, the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya sampradaya, are all from Goloka Vrindavan. All of them. They are from Goloka Vrindavan. So our entire sampradaya, entire dhara is taking us to Goloka Vrindavan, the highest planet in Vaikuntha Lok. So Vaikuntha is a general term. Just like if I am going for Vrindavan Yatra and somebody asks, where is Adigadhar Prabhu gone? You can say he has gone to India. That is also correct. Or you can say he has gone to Vrindavan for Kartik Yatra. Please pray that I am able to go this year, 2019. Hare Krishna. So both the statements are correct. One is a general statement and one is a specific statement. Then you can also be more specific. He has gone to Pogala Ashram in Vrindavan. So Vaikuntha Lok is a general reference to the spiritual world. But we have to understand when Srila Prabhupada says Vaikuntha Lok, it means Goloka Vrindavan. Because all our prayers, our Hare Krishna Mahamantra, our Tulsi Aarti, our Guru Ashtakam, the Mangala Aarti, all our Aartis, Gaura Aarti, they all are prayers of Goloka Vrindavan. They are all taking us to Goloka Vrindavan. Our Hare Krishna Mahamantra, our Mangala Aarti, our Gaura Aarti, Tulsi Aarti, which we are supposed to do every day, all our prayers are directed towards Goloka Vrindavan. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying, each and every one of us can go back to Vaikuntha Lok, to the spiritual world, in this lifetime. And Srila Prabhupada, being a perfect acharya, is substantiating his statement by quoting his own spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada. He says, my spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, used to say, verbatim, Prabhupada has repeated. All of his disciples can go back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world, to Vaikuntha Lok, in this lifetime. Now, here is the catch. One simply has to become as serious and as sincere as Dhruva Maharaj. This is the fine print. This is the fine print, my dear friends. So sometimes there is the advertisement that buy one, get one free in big bold letters. Buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one free. And there will be a small asterisk there. And then at the bottom, there is a fine print. This offer is valid only until stock lasts or only on select items like that. So there is a catch. There is a condition. There is a fine print. This is the fine print. My Guru Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada used to say that every one of his disciples could attain Vaikuntha Lok in this life without waiting for another life to execute devotional service. One simply has to become as serious and as sincere as Dhruva Maharaj. Then it is quite possible to attain Vaikuntha Lok and go back home, back to Godhead in one life. The purpose ends here. So one has to become very, very serious and sincere like Dhruva Maharaj. So what does it mean? It means we have to analyze Dhruva Charitra. We have to hear about Dhruva Maharaj. We have to read about Dhruva Maharaj. So find Srila Prabhupada's lectures on Dhruva Charitra. Read Srila Prabhupada's description of Dhruva Charitra. Read Srila Prabhupada's translations and purports. Go to ISKCON Desire Tree. Go to Sri Srimad Radha Govinda Maharaj. Hear Radha Govinda Maharaj's description of Dhruva Charitra. Look at other acharyas in our line. See their lectures, find their lectures, hear about Dhruva Maharaj. Think about the activities of Dhruva Maharaj. Think about the character of Dhruva Maharaj. Discuss Dhruva Maharaj with like-minded devotees. This is required. Because by hearing about Dhruva Maharaj, by thinking about Dhruva Maharaj, by reciting the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj, by offering prayers to Dhruva Maharaj and our other acharyas, all our acharyas, then we can pray that someday we develop genuine sincerity and genuine seriousness about Krishna consciousness. What time is it? 8:51. So two more minutes. We have time till 9 a.m. We have to stop at 9 a.m. So it's 8:51. Just a couple points. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada very rightly brings in the example of Bharat Maharaj. So it is necessary that we spend a couple of minutes at least contemplating on that. On one side, we have Dhruva Maharaj, who perfected his life in one life, lifetime. On the other hand, we have Bharat Maharaj. Now, Bharat Maharaj also was very, very extraordinary, my dear friends, because Bharat Maharaj was coming also in a very glorious line, in the line of Maharaj Priyavrat. Priyavrat Maharaj was the son of Manu Maharaj, who is a son of Brahmaji. So in the line of Brahmaji, Manu Maharaj, Priyavrat, like that, in that line, Bharat Maharaj came. And whose son was Maharaj Bharat? He was the son of personality of Godhead. Maharaj Nabhi, in the line of Priyavrat Maharaj, he prayed to Krishna. He performed so many yajnas, and when Krishna was pleased, Krishna gave him darshan. So Maharaj Nabhi, this Bharat Varsh was named Abhinab, something like that, Abhinab or Adhinab Varsha. So Maharaj Nabhi prayed to Krishna that please give me a son as good as yourself. He prayed to Krishna when Krishna gave him darshan, being pleased with his bhajan. What benediction do you want? So a devotee wants Krishna always. Devotee doesn't want anything else, a real devotee. So Maharaj Nabhi, being a pure devotee, he prayed to Krishna that please give me a son like yourself. So Krishna said, there is nobody like me. Asamurdhva, one of the names of Krishna, one of the characteristics of Krishna is Asamurdhva. Asama, there is nobody like him, nobody comparable to him. What to speak of? Somebody Urdhva, somebody higher than him, better than him. So nobody can be equal to Krishna, nobody can be greater than Krishna. Which means, which leaves all of us here lower. Of course, we are lower, much, much lower than Krishna. Infinitely lower than Krishna. There is no comparison. So Krishna says to Nabhi Maharaj, there is nobody like me. So I will only come as your son. So then Nabhi Maharaj had a son called Rishabhadev, who is an incarnation of Krishna. And Rishabhadev's son, he had 100 sons. One of them was Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat Maharaj was not, all 100 sons were qualified. Very qualified. They were all very pure. They are sons of the personality of Godhead, Bhagwan Rishabhadev. But among these 100 sons, the best was Bharat Maharaj. He was the best. Therefore, Rishabhadev, before renouncing his kingdom and going to the forest, before retiring to the forest, he handed over the kingdom to Bharat Maharaj. And he told his other son to cooperate and work under the authority of Bharat Maharaj. So Bharat Maharaj was such a great personality, such a great devotee. He was an exemplary king. And then he gave away his kingdom to his son. When the time came, whatever time Krishna had ordained for him, he ruled as a Kshatriya king, king of Jambudvip. And then he left everything and went to the forest. He went to Haridwar. Then he went to the Gandaki River in the Himalayas, where Shaligram Shilas are found. And there Bharat Maharaj was worshipping Shaligram Shila with the holy water of Gandaki River. He used to find beautiful leaves, tulsi leaves, forest flowers, and he was worshipping Shaligram Shila. His Shaligram Shila is also described in Bhagavatam. It had a beautiful navel. Namo Pankacha Nabhaya. His Shaligram Shila had a beautiful navel. His Shaligram Shila had chakras on both sides. Just beautiful description is given. He was worshipping this beautiful Shaligram Shila. He was sitting there alone, renounced all his money, all his family, all his attachments, all his comforts, all his luxuries for Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami describes that when Maharaj Bharat was a sadhu now, he was worshipping his Shaligram Shila. Sukadeva Goswami in his beautiful poetry describes that the heart of Bharat Maharaj was like a beautiful lake, which was filled with water of Krishna Prem. This water of Krishna Prem would evaporate and come in his eyes. And his eyes were like beautiful clouds. And when he would worship his Shaligram Shila on the banks of Gandaki River, high up in the Himalayan mountains, in his beautiful ashram, simple ashram, when he would worship the Shaligram Shila, tears would flood his beautiful eyes and they would stream down his cheeks. Sukadeva Goswami says, Bharat Maharaj's eyes were so filled with tears that sometimes he could not even see his Shaligram Shila. He was on the platform of Bhav. You know, there are so many stages. The eighth stage is Bhav. He had almost reached the final stage of Krishna Prema. Sukadeva Goswami describes not only tears, but his voice would get choked up. His hair would stand on end. Sometimes he would start sweating in great love for Krishna. And his body would start trembling. All these Ashta Satvik Vikar, all these eight ecstatic symptoms started manifesting in the divine holy body of Bharat Maharaj. We don't have time to describe the whole pastime, but somehow by the arrangement of Providence, somehow by Krishna's arrangement, he saw a baby deer who had lost the mother deer, was floating in front of him. There was a miscarriage, there was a delivery, the mother fell and died in fear of a lion, and the baby deer was just floating away in the Gandaki River. And Bharat Maharaj was sitting there in the morning. It was Brahma Murtha time, Bhagavatam describes. So sitting in the morning doing his bhajan, and he witnessed this loud roaring of a lion, the mother deer giving birth to a baby deer in the water of Gandaki, and then falling down and dying. The mother deer fell down and fell into a cave or cliff and died. And this baby deer was dying. Now, our acharyas explained that Bharat Maharaj was a Kshatriya. Yes? He had a Kshatriya spirit. He had a Kshatriya for so many years, all his life, thousands of years. So he had a Kshatriya spirit. And he thought that this baby deer has taken my shelter. And a Kshatriya always gives protection to anyone who takes shelter. Kshat Trayati iti Kshatriya. Kshatriya is one who gives protection from harm. Kshat means to harm, to injure. One who gives protection from injury is called Kshatriya. So although now he was a Vairagi, he was a sadhu, that Kshatriya spirit, which for us means our previous conditioning, our previous conditioning of doing prajalpa, of gossiping, our previous conditioning of watching movies, of watching on television screen what we are not supposed to watch, watching on television screen the breaking of the four regulative principles, our previous conditioning of criticizing, fighting, kalaha lati iti kali. Kaliyug means, kali means one who brings kalaha. Kalaha means quarrel, dispute, conflict, fight, misunderstanding. Previous conditioning. What was Bharat Maharaj's previous conditioning? Very noble, Kshatriya. His conditioning was to give protection. And now, although he was sadhu, that previous conditioning came back, which means for us also, our horrible previous conditioning can come and haunt us at any time. And he immediately picked up that deer and saved the deer. And then Sukadeva Goswami describes in great detail how slowly, gradually, Kramena, step by step, Bharat Maharaj became attached to the baby deer. First, the deer needed milk. So Bharat Maharaj would bring, somehow procure some milk. And the teeth were just developing, so he needed very fine grass, soft grass. So he would go pluck soft grass for the deer. And the deer had nobody to protect. So Bharat Maharaj would protect. There were tigers, there were bears, wolves, leopards in the forest who wanted to prey on this helpless deer. And Bharat Maharaj would give all protection. Akshatriya. He would give protection. And the deer reciprocated. And when someone reciprocates, it's very difficult not to get attached. So Bharat Maharaj got attached. Shukdev Goswami describes Bharat Maharaj would be serving his Shaligram Shila for performing some yajna in the forest. And in the middle of his yajna kriya, in the middle of his Shaligram Seva, he would remember, where is the baby deer? I cannot see. And he would interrupt his Shaligram Seva. He would interrupt his yajna, which is against the rule of yajna and deity worship. And he would get up and go into the forest to find the deer. And he would find the deer and allure it with some soft grass and bring it back. And in the middle of the yajna, the deer would come and lick Bharat Maharaj on the cheek. And Bharat Maharaj would enjoy that. He would caress the baby deer. It is described sometimes the deer would come and step on the parasarnalia of the yajna and deity worship. Would walk around. And when Bharat Maharaj would chastise the deer, hey, what you are doing is step on the fruits, the tulsi leaves, the flowers that are meant for my Shaligram Seva. Why did you step? To chastise the deer would become very morose, very sad, and very scared, and would go to a corner in the ashram and sit. And Bharat Maharaj's heart would melt. And Bharat Maharaj would chastise his mind. Oh, wicked mind, in the name of worshipping Shaligram Shila, you are being unkind to an innocent living entity who has taken your shelter. This deer has no other shelter. And you have become so hard-hearted by doing Shaligram Seva that you are neglecting this deer. And he would get up. Just see, Prabhus and Matajis, how the mind can cheat us. And Sudeva Goswami writes all this in Bhagavatam. And he would go and he would apologize to the deer. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so rude to you. I didn't mean to be so harsh to you. Come sit next to me. It's okay to step on the flowers and tulsi leaves, which are meant for Shaligram Seva. Now, this may sound very surprising to us. Ah, I don't have any pets in my house. I don't have dogs. So I don't interrupt my Shaligram Seva like this, or I don't interrupt my japa like this. We may think that Bharat Maharaj is being very careless here. But my dear friends, deer in the case of Bharat Maharaj is just an analogy. We have our own deer in our life. If during japa we are thinking, today is Friday, my paycheck must have come, let me log into Bank of America and see what the numbers look like. That is my deer. That is deer for me. I may not have an actual deer in my house. I may not have a dog or a cat or a pet in the house. Don't take it literally. Understand the spirit. We have to not just read the letter of Bhagavatam, understand the spirit. All of us have deer in our life. Bharat Maharaj had only one deer, my dear friends. Oh, we have so many deers in our life. We may think of how some devotee has ill-treated me. We may think of planning. Today I have to work from this time to this time. Then I have to go to the Indian store. Then I have to go to Costco. Then I have to go to do this. Then I have to call up this. I have to do that. I have to fix this. I have to call the plumber. I have to pay this bill. These are all our attachments. The bill that we have to pay may not be an attachment, but that bill is ultimately for the griha, for the house. That is an attachment. We want to pay our bills on time because we want our credit score to look good. That may be an attachment. So many things are there. We have to analyze who are the dear in our life. Who are more dear to us than dear Guru Gauranga and Vaishnavas. So we have our own interruptions. We have our own distractions in our life. We have our own dear. And our acharyas explain what ultimately caused the downfall downfall of Bharat Maharaj, externally and internally. We will discuss this. There was much I wanted to discuss about Bharat Maharaj, but we have run out of time. Two things. What caused the fall down of Bharat Maharaj? So see, we have Dhruva Maharaj on one side, we have Bharat Maharaj on one side. Did Dhruva Maharaj ever come close to a fall down? Yes. Can anyone unmute and tell me when was the time when Dhruva Maharaj, after having darshan of Krishna, came very close to having a spiritual fall down? For the sake of time, I will tell. It was when Dhruva Maharaj became angry with the Yakshas. And he was slaughtering the Yakshas left, right and center. At that time, Guru came to him in the form of Manu Maharaj and chastised him. It doesn't befit you that you are getting so angry. Ultimately, death, you are getting angry because they killed your stepbrother Uttam. Ultimately, death is sanctioned by the Supreme Lord, by the will of the Supreme Lord. Manu Maharaj says, so many beautiful instructions he gives. So when Dhruva Maharaj was in a danger zone, Guru Maharaj came to him in the form of Manu Maharaj and saved him. Our acharyas explain, my dear friends, when Bharat Maharaj became attached to the deer, he had no higher association. He had no guru to tell him that Bharat Prabhu or Bharat Maharaj, please, you know, there are so many parentless deer, orphaned deers, and other living entities in this forest. Was it the first time in the history of wild animals that a baby deer was orphaned? No. So many times it has happened. So many times they give birth and the mother is killed by a lion or a tiger or a leopard or a bear or a wolf, pack of wolves. Not the first time. This is law of nature. Ahastani sahastana apadani chaturpadam. What is that? Bhalgun yatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Narad Muni says in Srimad Bhagavatam that ahastani sahastana, those who don't have the dexterous hands like human beings do, sahastanam, they become food for those which have nice powerful claws, which they can work like a bear or tiger. They will eat. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chaturpadam. And those who don't have legs, they become food for the four-legged animals like cows and deer. They graze on the apadani, those that cannot run away, like vegetables and fruits and grain, grass. They are eaten by the four-legged animals. Alguni yatra mahatam. And the weak are food, are preyed upon by the mahatam, by the strong. And the general rule is, jiva jiva sa jivanam, that one living entity is food for another living entity. So it's law of nature, my dear friends. If a baby deer, so yes, we can feel sympathy, but this is the law of nature. One did not get so distracted. So somebody could have told this to Bharat Maharaj, that it's okay, now the deer can graze on its own, now let it go. Let it leave its, according to its swabhav, its natural life. It is not natural for a deer to live in ashram with a sadhu. You do your dharma of Shaligram Seva and Bhagavad Bhakti and let the deer, you know, live its life, animal life. But Bharat Maharaj had nobody to tell him this. That is why externally Bharat Maharaj fell down. Now Sukhdev Goswami in one of the verses says, Bharat Maharaj fell down because of his previous conditioning and because of future activity, karma kind. So as a king, he must have done some karma kind, that I do this and I get this, I do this and I get that. So as a reaction for that, he fell down. Sukhdev Goswami says. However, in the purport, based on our Acharya's commentary, Srila Prabhupada says, that how is that possible? Because if you worship Krishna, all your sins are destroyed. And Prabhupada quotes from Shastra, that how by worshipping Shaligram Shila, how by worshipping Krishna, how by practicing Bhakti Yoga, all the sins are destroyed. So how is it that it was his karma? It was a reaction of some karma kandic activity. How could it have been how could Bharat Maharaj's fall down been a result of his own karma? Prabhupada said, this is not possible.
Prabhupada says based on the authority of the Acharya. He said this is not possible. So Prabhupada gives the internal reason for the fall down of Bharat Maharaj. So externally we can understand so many things, that maybe it was his past sinful activity, maybe it was his future activity, maybe it was his hridaya darbalyam, his weakness of heart, maybe it was lack of devotee association, maybe it was Maya tricking him by using his good quality of compassion, maybe it was previous conditionings of being a Kshatriya that came back. Externally, so many things we can analyze, but internally, Prabhupada gives him a purport that Bharat Maharaj fell down, Krishna made him fall down purposely. Krishna made him fall down purposely. Why? To teach us a lesson. Narahari Chakravarti writes in Bhakti Ratnaka that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Priya Bhakta Dware Annera Shikshaka Rahe Yahi Prakare. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sometimes makes some devotees apparently fall down. The classic example is Chota Haridas. Actually, Chota Haridas just looked at Madhavi Mataji, the sister of Chiki Mahati, and he spoke to her privately. But as a brahmachari, he is not supposed to talk to a Mataji privately. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had very strict standards. So actually there was no fall down, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu punished him and rejected him. Externally he rejected him, and we should take the external meaning very seriously. That we have to be very careful. Very careful. Srila Prabhupada said, my disciples will fall down because of two things. One is paiso ka ghotala, dollars. My devotees will fall down because of mismanagement of funds. They will become greedy for money, greedy for position, greedy for power, and they will fall down. Said money, dollars will make many of my followers fall down, Prabhupada said. And second is illicit sex, the sex desire. Prabhupada said, he said, my disciples will fall down because of two things, illicit sex and money. As far as vikarma is concerned. But the bigger cause of fall down is aprabh, Vaishnava aprabh. The biggest cause of fall down is Vaishnava aprabh. In fact, the truth is, we get hridaya durbalyam, we get weakness of heart and inability to say no to temptation, say no to financial greed, say no to lusty desire because of Vaishnava aprabh. It is Vaishnava aprabh that makes our heart weak and susceptible to lust. My dear friends, I am saying this from personal experience. If we commit Vaishnava aprabh, our heart will become susceptible to lust, greed, envy, anger, pride, illusion. We make ourselves susceptible, vulnerable by committing Vaishnava aprabh. How does Vaishnava aprabh cause a fall down? It makes us weak. We cannot put our foot down and say no when temptation comes. For those $10, we will do ghotala. We will lose our transparency. For that 5 minutes of pleasure, we fall down and surrender to a bag of foul smell, stool, urine, saliva, sweat, which is packaged nicely in two layers of skin called epidermis and dermis. Where does this weakness of heart come from? It comes from Vaishnava. We have to have offended devotees. We have to have displeased devotees. Otherwise, Hridaya Durbalyam does not come. This path is so sacred, so holy, so powerful. So much potency is there. So many sins can be destroyed by chanting Hare Krishna, by circumambulating Tulsi Maharani, by going to the Dham. But we commit aparadh. Pap can be washed away. Aparadh cannot be washed away. We have to be very careful of both pap and aparadh, my dear friends. So this is how the weakness of heart comes. So Srila Prabhupada explained that Bharat Maharaj fell down. That was a direct, purposeful action of Krishna. Krishna made him fall down to teach us lessons. Therefore, our acharyas comment that, yes, Bharat Maharaj fell down after perfecting his life, almost perfecting his life. Yes, Chitraketu Maharaj fell down after perfecting his life. But our acharya explained, they were Kashthera Putli. They were puppets, the putli in the hands of Krishna. And they fell down because Krishna wanted to use them as examples. Chota Haridas also, because Chota Haridas used to come at night and sing for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If he was rejected, how would Mahaprabhu allow him to come and sing? Externally, he was used as an example. He was Krishna's puppet. He was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's puppet. But we should always remember the external teaching. Never forget the external lesson to be learned from this. But internally, Chota Haridas was not rejected. Every night he would come and intimately sing for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to relish his singing. It is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He can read it. So similarly, externally, Bharat Maharaj fell down, but internally we must understand whether it is Parikshit Maharaj putting a dead snake with the tip of his bow around the neck of Shamik Rishi. These are Krishna's direct interventions. But we should not think that me criticizing a devotee, oh, Krishna spoke through my tongue. Me ill-treating a devotee, Krishna is doing what can I do. We should not think that. We should not be so arrogant. If we were like that, our name would have been in Srimad Bhagavatam that, yes, in the 12th canto it is mentioned in Kali Yuga, Adi Gadadhar Prabhu will come and he will speak like this, he will do like this. These are his activities, this is the name of his parents, and he will criticize devotees to teach all of you a lesson. If it was like that, then I would have been mentioned in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Kali Yuga is described. But I am not mentioned. So we should not think that Krishna is using my tongue to criticize devotees. Krishna is using me to commit this apradh. No, we should take responsibility for our actions. We should take responsibility for our actions. I will conclude, my dear friends, by saying that because Prabhupada says, if you like, you can go back home back to Godhead in this lifetime. My dear friends, I will conclude by saying very humbly that if we are serious, if our motives are clean, we want to get purified, we want to make advancement only so that we can improve our service to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. We want to increase the quality and quantity of our seva to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. That is why we are in ISKCON. That is why we are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is why we are chanting Ashtakam. That is why we are doing Sri Vigraha Seva. Everything we do is simply Samsiddhir Hari Toshana. That is the, you have to ask, why am I in ISKCON? Why am I in this Bhakti Sangha group? Why am I giving this class? It is only because everything we do, the only one reason that we have come to ISKCON, the only one reason that we are doing Bhakti, practicing Bhakti, or trying to practice Bhakti, is Atha Pumbir Dija Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagasha Sanushishtasta Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. The only reason we are in ISKCON is to improve and increase the quality and quantity of our service to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. There is no other reason. Shri Rupa Manjari Pada Seimora Sampada. So here, you know, our Raghunath Das Goswami says, what is the purpose of my Seimora Japatapa? What is the purpose of fasting on Ekadashi? What is the purpose of giving up these four addictions, four temptations? What is the purpose of our japa? What is the purpose of our sankirtan? It is simply to please Hari, Guru and Vaishnava. Simply to please Hari, Guru and Vaishnava. That is why we want to become purified, so that we can serve them better. If we want to go back home, back to Godhead, to improve our, or if we want to perfect our lives, whether we go back home, back to Godhead, it is up to Krishna. Krishna may decide to keep us in the material world. Krishna may decide to get us further trained, further purified in one of his Bhauma Leelas, in one of the material universes where he is performing his pastimes. That is also as good as going back to Vaikuntha Loka, because we are with Krishna and Hari Parshad, Krishna's associates. We are in Krishna Leela. Or whether we go back to a spiritual world. Whatever Krishna does, Krishna is completely independent. Ashlishava padartam pirashtumam adarshanam barvatam parotuva yathadathava vidhati lambatva mat pranana plastusa eva napara. Yathadathava, whatever Krishna wants to do, whether he wants us to go back to the spiritual world, go enter his Leela in Bhauma Leela, in this material, one of the Brahmandas, or he wants us to stay here, or go to the hell, or go to heaven. Whatever Krishna wants us to do, Krishna is independent. As devotees, we should pray to Krishna. Krishna, na chao, Prabhu, na chao, se mate. Whatever you want me to do, you make me do. Whatever you want me to make me do, but please, through my words, through my actions, and through my body, body, mind, and words, whatever I do, I want to please you. I want to be a source of pleasure to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, source of pleasure to Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. So if we want to perfect our life in one lifetime, if we want to perfect our life in one lifetime, my dear friends, we must do only one thing. Only one thing. Only one thing. Only one thing. If we want to perfect our life in this lifetime, in this body, if we want to perfect our lifetime, perfect our life in this lifetime, there is only one thing we need to do. Only one thing. Srila Prabhupada, very, very beloved God brother. Shri Srimad Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. Very, very dear God brother of Srila Prabhupada. Very dear to Srila Prabhupada. During the inauguration of the Chandrodaya Mandir in Mayapur, Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. Paramhamsa, a Mahabhagwat, he was asked, what is the one instruction that we can follow to perfect our lives? I will end the class by simply quoting Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, a dear God brother of Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada. He said something to the effect, I don't know the exact words, but he said something to the effect of, mind your tongue and just surrender. My dear friends, most of the problems that happen, that we create, are because of our mind. So to mind one's mind means to mind all the senses. The tongue is all automatically controlled, the genitals are controlled, the mind has to be controlled. Because all the impetus to fall prey to temptations comes from the mind, the dictations come from the enemy mind, because the mind is uncontrolled and enemy. So control the senses, say shut up to the mind, and just surrender to a pure devotee. This is one instruction. This is the one thing that we need to do if we want to perfect our life in this lifetime. Surrender to a Mahabhagavat. Just give yourself, offer yourself to a pure devotee. Pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada is a Mahabhagavat. We have to just follow the instructions of our Guru Gan. We should not disrespect anybody. We should not be political or very narrow-minded and criticize others. Very, very dangerous. If we just sell ourselves to the pure devotee.
आप जिस व्यक्ति से बात कर रहे हैं, उन्होंने आपके कॉल.
That will help us perfect our life. We should just sell ourselves to a pure devotee. We should sell ourselves to Guru Maharaj, our spiritual master. We should sell ourselves to our spiritual master. Become sold out slaves of our spiritual master. If we take shelter of the instructions of our spiritual master, in letter and in spirit, in this lifetime, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, our desire should be there. Our attempt, sincere attempt should be there. By the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, we will be able to perfect our life in this very lifetime. Thank you very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhu. Whatever you said is so true that we cannot become so pure. Still we are in the things like whatever you said, everything. I feel that, you know, I have to improve myself in everything, like chanting, like following the regulative principles, every sadhana. It's really... You are telling means I was thinking, oh, Adhikadhara Prabhu is scolding me only. It's like that. Means it is remembering that how fool I am, or it's like that. Very, very nice class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for stressing on those points that we should meditate every day. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, can you please mention your name, your good name?
Prabhuji, my name is Vinaya.
Hare Krishna, Vinaya Mataji, thank you very much for your kind words. I transfer all your kind words to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Adhikata Dada, Sarav Kuti Kuti Dandutanam, Sri Prabhupada Kuti 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 Kuti. Thank you very much for episode. It's such a wonderful material class. Prabhuji, every time you are remembering that we have to chant our 16 down very attentively. You gave an example of Dhruma, Sridhar Maharaj, and many more. Prabhuji, it's really test to heart. Thank you very much for your association. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandit Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. And I love the analogy of the deer. Never ever thought about in that life. I've heard the pastime so many, many times. But there are so many deers in our life, for sure. And the dangers of Vaishnava Aparadha, which so creep in so unconsciously in our life. Very, very unconsciously. And how much we have to be careful and wary of it. All whatever we are doing, all this bhakti will go for a waste. That's what that's so, so dangerous. But my question, Prabhuji, is if at all the Vaishnava Aparadha is taking place unconsciously, I do not know, then what we are doing with so much of endeavor, everything is for a waste, Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, can you please mention your good name?
This is Palika Devi Dasi from Detroit.
Hare Krishna, Palika Mataji. Thank you for your very nice, sincere question. Neha Bikrami Lashosti. In Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Krishna says that on this path of Bhakti Yoga, on this path of Krishna consciousness, there is no loss. There is no diminution. So even if we are not able to practice Shuddha Bhakti, even if we are not able to practice pure Krishna consciousness, even if we are not able to make it to the perfect gold standard, there is no loss. Because whatever progress we make, it stays with us eternally. And in our next life, we continue from that point onwards. This all our acharyas unanimously explain. So this is very hope-giving. So, for example, it is like taking an exam. For example, so I'm just giving you a rough example. For example, let's say I am in seventh grade. And I take the exam, but I fail. I don't make it to the passing grade, and I have to repeat seventh grade. So, does it mean that all the studies that I did, they are useless, gone? No. All that knowledge is still there. I have to increase that knowledge and take the exam again. So death is the exam. Death is the exam, final exam. But whatever spiritual advancement we have made, whatever lessons we have learned, whatever we have memorized, all that will remain with us. Just like Gajendra. He was Indradumna Maharaj in his previous birth. He was King Indradumna. And as King Indradumna, he had offered many beautiful prayers. So when he became Gajendra and he was in great difficulty, all those prayers came back to him. And he cried. He cried out. So similarly, whatever spiritual advancement we are doing now, listening to Bhagavatam classes, participating in Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, our quality may not be very good, but whatever advancement we are making, that stays with us. As long as we are not doing aparadha. But if we do aparadha, then everything gets covered. Everything gets covered. So therefore we should be very careful about aparadha. And whatever level of Krishna consciousness we are doing, for example, when we are chanting our 16 rounds, we may not be crying like our acharyas do. It is described when Prabhupada would go to Shantipur, and at Advaita Bhavan, Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he would sit and he would chant japa all day, 192 rounds from morning to night. And tears would come out of his eyes when he would chant. Similarly, so many times Prabhupada would speak, he would sing Jai Radha Madhav, and tears would come out of his eyes. So, Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita Vaditra Madhyan Manasorasena Romanchakam Pashruta Rangabhaja Vande Guru Shri Charanaravindam. One of the great transcendental characteristics of Guru Maharaj is that sometimes he will shed tears of love during Sankirtan. So when Prabhupada is speaking Harikatha Bhagavatam class, that is Sankirtan. When he is singing Jai Radha Madhav, that is Sankirtan. And Prabhupada did exhibit those symptoms, although he tried to suppress. So we may not be on that level. We may not be crying when we are doing our japa every day. But whatever may be our level of japa, if the japa can be on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being chanting Shuddhanam, chanting the pure name, like Prabhupada did, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur did, Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj, all our acharyas, self-realized acharyas, Gaur Govind Maharaj, Ahindra Prabhu, they did, chanted the Shuddhanam, pure name. If that is 10 on 10, highest, and 1 means very, very inattentive, very careless chanting, not serious, very, very inattentive, like lowest. So on a scale of 1 to 10, we may not be at 10, Mataji, we may not be at 10, but even if we are at 2 or 3, that much advancement we have made, that much advancement we have made, which never goes away. It always stays in our spiritual bank account. And we have to just improve. We have to just increase our knowledge. We have to practice more. We have to study more so that when we take the 7th grade exam, we pass and we are promoted to the next level. We graduate. So that is our exam, and entire life every day is preparation. Preparation. And we should have hope that whatever we are doing, every mantra you are chanting, Mataji, sitting in Detroit, holding a initiation japamala, Palika Mataji, every single Mahamantra you are chanting, every single name in the 16 name Hare Krishna Mahamantra you are chanting, everything counts. Everything counts. Every time you offer obeisances to your deities, it counts. Every time you sit in a Bhagavatam class, it counts eternally. Every time you raise your hands, loudly chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra and dance in Sankirtan, it counts. Every time you are absorbed in hearing Sankirtan, you are clapping your hands. You may not be sitting with a microphone and leading the Kirtan and devotees following your lead. You will be just sitting as one of the 50, 60 devotees in the assembly. But with your eyes closed, you are meditating on the sound vibration of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. You are praying for purification. You are praying for humility. You are praying for seva, service. You are praying for Krishna Prem. The holy name is entering through your ears, going into your heart. Every time you are doing that, sitting there, clapping and loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every time you are doing that, it counts. It counts. It is eternal, because spiritual activity is eternal. There is no loss, there is no diminution, there is no degradation, there is no decomposition. It stays with you. Our aim should be to increase the quality and quantity of our service. Nothing is lost, Mataji. Nothing is lost. You will start from the same spiritual level of realization. Not you. I hope you don't have to take a birth. I will start with the same spiritual realization that I have. But it is never lost. It is never lost. So this great opportunity is there, Mataji. All we have to do is surrender to the advanced devotees. Find advanced devotees. Find those sold out, surrendered devotees who share this determination that I want to perfect my life in this lifetime. Seek their association. Seek their association. Find such devotees. Make a list of such Shiksha Gurus. Sell yourself to your spiritual master. Sell yourself to Srila Prabhupada. All the great acharyas in our sampradaya. They are all pure devotees. All the acharyas, starting from, you know, all the way down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the beautiful names, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, aha. They are all Mahabhagavats coming from Goloka Vrindavan. Read their bhajans, sing their bhajans, repeat their prayers, recite their prayers, read their commentaries. Srila Prabhupada is a great opportunity for all of us. But most important thing, my dear friends, I'm concluding with this, is we have to select our association very carefully. We have to find those fired up devotees, seek their association, and always remain in their association. It is association that makes us, association that breaks us. How to identify an advanced devotee? Advanced devotee is that person who doesn't waste a single moment. Someone who is trying to absorb himself or herself throughout all time, at all times, is a sincere and advanced devotee. A devotee who doesn't gossip, devotee who doesn't read newspaper, doesn't watch television, doesn't waste time, always thinking about Krishna, always reading about Krishna, always hearing about Krishna, connecting everything that happens in life to Krishna. Even if one goes for a job, if we are working, whatever remuneration, whatever salary we get, we are using it to maintain Krishna conscious grahastha ashram and donating it for Krishna. Such devotees, we should take very serious shelter of them. But nothing is lost, Mataji. This is the great attractive feature of Krishna consciousness. Nothing is lost. It's all spiritual. Spiritual life, spiritual activities, spiritual substance never degrades. Degradation, decomposition is for material substances like paper, pen, plastic. That has to be recycled. It degrades, it decomposes. House will degrade. The dollar bills will degrade after some years. They will be lost. But spiritual vastu, adhyatmik vastu, it is chinmay. It never degrades. So every Mahamantra counts, Mataji. Every obeisance counts. Every Bhagavatam class counts. Every Sankirtan counts. So this should make us very happy, very encouraged. It should encourage us and it should increase our determination. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. It is very inspiring to know. And whenever I listen to your lecture, I get inspired and fired up for some time. Again, the enthusiasm goes down. So I'll just keep listening to your lectures. Thank you. And one small question. You may just take a few seconds, Prabhuji, or if you can answer next time. I mean, I just want to tell you that in Sunday when I go to the temple, I'm just doing some very, very basic service, Prabhuji. Something is very, I don't know, with significant, insignificant. That's what I told, that I just want to do something which is needed. And they gave me to do. But will that be counted? Will that be, because I'm not doing anything which is glorious service, Prabhuji. So that's my question. Every time I think, is that okay?
Palika Mataji, in Padyavali, Srila Rupa Goswami has written down this verse, which we should all memorize and meditate upon. It's very hope-giving, very sweet. This verse can be sung in the same meter as Shad Goswami Ashtakam. Rupa Goswami writes in Padyavali, Vyadhasya charano dhruvasya chavayo विद्या गजेंद्रस्य का कुब्जाया किमु नाम रूपमधिकं किं तत् सुधाम्नो धनं वंशको विदुरस्य यादवपते उग्रस्य किं पौरुषं भक्ति
प्यातुष्यति केवलं न च गुणै भक्ति प्रिय माधव. सो ब्यूटिफुल, वेरी ब्यूटिफुल पालिका माताजी, प्लीज लिसन केयरफुली. What does Rupa Goswami writes? He says, Vyadhasya Charan. What acharan, what sadachar did the hunter, Vyadhasya means the hunter, have? Hunter, we can think of Mrigari, we can think of Valmiki, whose name was Ratnakar. What sadachar, what etiquette, what suit and tie and, you know, distinction did they have? Were they very polished in their mannerisms? What sadachar did they have? They were hunters living in the jungle, tribals, aborigines, uncivilized. Vyadhasya charano dhruvasya chavayo. We are reading about Dhruva Charitra, Dhruva Maharaj. Rupa Goswami is saying, vyadhasya charanam dhruvasya chavayo. And what age did Dhruva Maharaj had when he had darshan of Krishna? Was he a very elderly person? No, he was 5 years old, 5 or 6 years old. So what was the age of Dhruva Maharaj? Which means, we don't have to have a lot of sadachar or very polished aristocratic behavior, suit and tie behavior, number one. Number two, we don't have to have age on our side. It's not like, you cannot sit on the Vyasasan until you are 35 years old. Oh, you are only 27 years old or 25 years old. I will not listen to you. I will not listen to your class. No, not like that. Shukdev Goswami was the youngest person in that assembly. He was younger than Parishit Maharaj, younger than all the sadhus and rishis who had come. He was only 16 years old. But everybody sat and humbly listened to him because he was very advanced in spiritual realization. So age is not a qualification. Vyadhasya charano dhruvasya chavayo vidya gajendrasya ka. What was the educational qualification of Gajendra? Vidya Gajendrasya ka, Rupa Goswami is asking. What was, which Gurukul did Gajendra go to? So, what acharan did the hunter have, Valmiki or Mrigari? What was the age of Dhruva Maharaj? And what was the educational qualification of Gajendra? But they all got Krishna. So, Vyadhasya charanam dhruvasya chavayo. Vidya Gajendrasya ka. Then he says, Kubjaya kimur namarupam adhikam. Kubja. Namarupam adhikam. Did Kubja have lot of fame, nam, rup? Did Kubja have lot of physical beauty and fame? No. What fame? She was infamous as a maid servant. And rup, what beauty did she have? Rupa Goswami is talking about the rup of Kubja. He's saying she did not have any beauty. She was a hunchback, ugly woman. Kubjaya kimu nama rupam adhikam. So Kubja didn't have fame. Kubja didn't have physical beauty. But she still got Krishna. Krishna went to her house. Kubjaya kimu nama rupam adhikam. Kim tat sudam no dhanam. And what wealth did the Sudama Brahman have? Oh, he was so impoverished. Kuchailam, his clothes were dirty. His clothes were torn. He was emaciated. He had no food in his belly. His house was broken. He had no wealth. He was impoverished. So it's not like you have to go in a Honda or a Mercedes or BMW to the temple. Only then Krishna will accept you. You don't have to have wealth. Yes, you can live in a simple apartment. And you can take a bus to the temple and you can still get Krishna. You don't need any wealth. Or you may not even have an apartment. You will be living with somebody else. Wealth is not a qualification. He says, Kim tat sudam no dhanam vamsha ko vidurasya. And what was the vamsha of Vidur? What was the family dynasty of Vidur? Did he come in a very aristocratic family? No. He was a son of a maid servant. He was a Shudra. He was the lowest. So what was the vamsha of Vidur? But Krishna went to his house and accepted the banana peel from his loving hands and from the loving hands of his wife, Vidurani. So, vamsha ko vidurasya. Yadavapater ugrasya kim paurusham. And Yadavapati the king of the Yadus, Ugrasen, what Paurusham did he have? What physical ability did he have? Was he Atirathi? Was he very famous for being physically very powerful? No, he was an old man. But still, Krishna enthroned him, made him the king. Why? Because he had bhakti. Yadava Pater, Paurusham. What was the manliness, or what was the physical power of Ugrasen? No, Ugrasen was not made the king by Krishna because he was powerful. There were so many people who were more powerful than him. But still, Ugrasen had love. So then in the last line, Rupa Goswami writes that Bhaktya tushyati kevalam na cha gunair. It is not all this guna, the quality of suit and boot, suit and tie, distinction and aristocracy and polished behavior, acharan, sadachar. It is not age. You don't have to be an old person to become a paramhamsa. So age is not a criteria, wealth is not a criteria, physical beauty, fame is not a criteria, your educational qualification is not a criteria, your family lineage is vamsha is not a criteria, and your paurusham, your physical strength, is not a criteria. All these guna are not what attracts Krishna. Bhaktya tushyati, what really satisfies Krishna, what really pleases Krishna, is bhakti. Bhaktya tushyati kevalam na cha gunair bhakti priya madhava. Our Radha Madhav are only attracted by bhakti. So you may be going, Mataji, to the Detroit temple, and you may be doing very simple service that nobody may even notice, but Guru and Gauranga are noticing. It is not just the physical deed that we do, but it is our consciousness in which we do it. Just like Vidurani, just like Vidur, just like Kubja, just like Ugrasen Maharaj, just like our Dhruva Maharaj, just like Valmiki, just like Mrigari, just like our Gajendra. So it is the consciousness, it is the mood, it is the bhav in which we do the service that is more important. Whether we are lifting up big mountains and throwing to make the setu, to make the bridge for Lord Ram, or we are a small squirrel, or like Radhanath Maharaj says, spider. We are kicking some grains of dust from the shore of the ocean. Whatever our service is, Krishna is satisfied not with the physical service, actually, it is our bhav. But the problem is when we are Hanuman and we are satisfied with just pushing little dust particles into the ocean. No. If we are Hanuman, if Krishna has given us the strength and ability, then we must pick up mountains. So we should not try to pick up mountains being a squirrel or a spider. And if we are Hanumanji, we should not be satisfied with just some grains of sand. We should do it to the best of our honest ability. Honest ability. So it is like that. So whether we are Jananivas Prabhu, who is just simply staying in Mayapur Dham and doing deity worship, or whether we are Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who is revolutionizing Krishna consciousness in Africa where nobody goes, or we are Ladini Mataji, humbly serving Jagannath in New Vrindavan, or we are Gaur Govind Maharaj, struggling in a hut in Bhuvaneshwar, trying to preach to the Orient people, trying to establish a temple there. Whoever we are, whatever our service is, or whether we are Radha Govinda Maharaj, sitting in a small room in Vrindavan, reading Srimad Bhagavatam for 12 hours every day, not having any website, not having any YouTube channel, you know, very simple, very humble. Whoever we are, whatever we are, it is, we should try to do the service according to our honest, best ability. Krishna gives ability, Krishna gives empowerment. He may empower us to do any particular service. We should try to do it honestly to the best of our ability. So these are my thoughts, Matari. So don't worry, your service will be very small, but Krishna will be very pleased with your mood of service. Whether you offer half-eaten fruits to Lord Ramchandra, or you offer him like Bharat Maharaj offered him in Ayodhya on a golden plate with a golden spoon. It is our love that Krishna is tasting. So does that help, Mataji?
Thank you, Prabhuji. So today when I go, I will do my service with utmost enthusiasm, always having this thought in my mind. Yes, and I'm doing the service, whatever has been told, as instructed by the senior devotees only. So it's not mine. It's something which they gave me. So I will definitely do my best. Thank you, Prabhuji. It helps me a lot. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. And please bless me also that I am able to walk the talk. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my question is, you said the way you ask your dhikis that or Guru and Gauranga, that this is the last time you are seeing your dhikis, your Guru Maharaj and Gauranga, you may not come back. My prayers are completely different, Prabhuji. It hasn't changed even after coming to Krishna consciousness. I still say that let me and my son come back safely. And it is so selfish, but I don't have the guts to say that this is my last time. This may be the last time that I'm seeing you, Prabhuji. How do we get that sincerity? Even if I imagine, I don't think I can get that, Prabhuji. So I was very surprised from that prayer and very humbled. Thank you.
Mataji, can you please tell your good name?
My name is Avinanda.
Hare Krishna, Avinanda Mataji. I humble obeisances to you. Mataji, I feel your prayer is higher than my prayer because you are so attached to your service to Krishna that you are praying that please let me and my son come back. For what? So I can come and serve you. So your prayer is highest. I am asking for myself that this may be the last time I am seeing you, Krishna, please. But your prayer is higher because you want to come back to Krishna so you can serve him. So please don't change anything, Mataji. Your prayer is higher than my prayer. Hare Krishna.
That is what sorry, Prabhuji, but that is what you are saying. I feel I don't want to die. I'm scared of death. That's why I'm saying it, Prabhuji. I do not feel it that way. Maybe I can think it that way, what you are giving. But it feels selfish, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. A real devotee always feels like that, Mataji. So you are feeling like that because you are a real devotee. So please bless me that I can also imbibe some sincerity, sincere, genuine devotion.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, you said now that you give the example of Hanuman and the squirrel, right? Like when we are doing some service, we should do it... sorry for the disturbance. We should do it according to our, like how much you know that you can do. So, in that respect, like if we take up services wherein we know that we can do this, it is okay, right? Because then we hear sometimes people saying that, you are into too many services. So, but if we know that we can do it, is it still okay to go ahead and take services and do it? Because I'm just having that problem recently. So, not able to find proper guidance on that respect.
Hare Krishna. So, Mataji, the specifics of this question, you can discuss with your Shiksha Guru or your spiritual master, if possible. But general principle is, we have to be honest with ourselves. And generally, if it's, you know, before embarking on a service, we must take blessings of our Shiksha Guru, our counselor, our mentor, whatever the name may be. We must take blessings and permission from our superiors before embarking on any service. So that is the general principle. And we have to be honest with ourselves that do I meet the prerequisite for performing this service? We have to be honest, not just externally, whether we are qualified, but internally, are we qualified to perform this service nicely? Do we have the desire to do the service? And am I competent? Both the things are required. The service, we should be able to do it from our heart, and it should be done in such a way competently so that
others can be pleased. It can be pleasing to others. For example, I may want to lead Kirtan, so Sankirtan. So what is the qualification? First of all, I have to internally ask myself, is my bhajan, am I trying to do my bhajan properly? Am I at least chanting 16 rounds as well as I can during Brahma Murta? Am I following the four regulative principles? Am I trying to inculcate the qualities of humility, tolerance? Am I trying to serve? Why do I want to do Sankirtan? Why do I want to lead the Sankirtan? Is it because I want to please Krishna? I want to please the facilitation of Sankirtan with the devotees. I want to sing nicely, melodiously with devotion so that devotees can follow nicely. And then everybody can participate nicely, happily in Sankirtan. That is one. And second is, am I competent? Can I do it nicely? So both the things should be there. Can I do it with a good heart, from my heart? And can I do it competently? If these two things are met, then next step is you go to your Shiksha Guru or your spiritual master, if possible, and take blessings that this service is there. I have a desire to do it. Can I have your, can you bless me? Do I have your permission? And can you give your blessings? So, like that, Matari. But the specifics of exactly what that service is, that you should discuss with somebody, you know, who you trust. Your spiritual mentor or Shiksha Guru. So does that make sense, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. These services are with the guidance of the senior devotees over here. So it's like not from my own. Whenever any service is told, it's always like with the senior devotees who are here.
In 3/4 of a mile, turn right on West Campbell Road.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I'll look into that also.
Yes, Mataji. So that is very good. Just, you know, do it with your heart and take blessings of your superiors and then do it always for the pleasure of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas and for our purification. Hare Krishna.
Sure, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. I like the prayer you mentioned, Prabhu, about my dear Guru and Gauranga, please make this Jiva eternally pleasurable to you. That was very eye-opening for me. Thank you very much. And also you mentioned about the violences, three types of violences, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Could you explain the differences once again, please, Prabhu? Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So physical violence is physical. Physically, you inconvenience a devotee, not give them asana to sit, or not give them prasadam, or any act of, you know, physically inconveniencing them. It may be, you know, not giving the ride or not giving them a place. There's so many things. Physically inconveniencing a devotee, because we don't like take a knife and attack a devotee. That is hopefully not what we do. But generally, physically inconveniencing a devotee, that can be, you know, physical violence, deliberately with a malicious intent. With a malicious intent. So that is physical violence. And then emotional violence is to ill-treat a devotee so that mentally the devotee, emotionally the devotee is pained or disturbed. So deliberately with a malicious intent, with ulterior motive, if we disturb the emotional balance of a devotee, the manasthirta, we disturb the mind, agitate the mind of a devotee, by our misbehavior, by our ill treatment, that is emotional violence. And spiritual violence means behaving in such an abominable way that we put people off, and people actually think that, oh, these Hare Krishnas, these ISKCON devotees are really notorious, you know. For example, I don't want to take any names, but I've heard that there was a yatra and somebody started a agency, took money from devotees to book tickets from Bombay to Bhuvaneshwar for the Puri yatra, took money from thousands and thousands of rupees from devotees, and then just disappeared. Never gave any tickets and just disappeared. Initiated devotee. So when such a thing happens, then the entire assembly of devotees, their faith is attacked. So this is spiritual violence, because some of them may get disgusted oh, these Hare Krishnas are, you know, not good people, and they may leave the movement. So we are actually taking them away from Krishna consciousness by our misbehavior, by our durachar. Instead of having sadachar, we are having durachar. That is spiritual violence. So Govind Prabhu, he says a very nice thing from Radha Gopinath Mandir, Mumbai. Govind Prabhu says, don't just think how many people you have brought to Krishna consciousness. Don't just think how many people you have brought to Krishna consciousness. Think how many people you have taken away from Krishna consciousness. We should think about that also. How many people have become disgusted with Krishna consciousness because of my misbehavior? So this is the three types of violence, Prabhu. Physical violence, emotional violence, and spiritual violence. I hope this helps. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So it is 10 o'clock. If it is okay with the organizers, we should end the class now.
Srimad Bhagavatam.